It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we find out what new independent films will be featured on Wisconsin Public Television's new season of Director's Cut.
First, a new memo from Attorney General Jeff Sessions will undo the criminal charging policies of the Obama era. The memo directs federal prosecutors to be as tough as possible on defendants in criminal cases. It tells them to, quote, pursue the most serious, readily provable offense.
Sessions said the new policies will create, quote, just and consistent results, but critics say it'll lead to more incarceration, especially for lower-level offenses.
Joining us now to tell us more is Kalila Brown-Dean. She's an associate professor of political science at Quinnipiac University, who has written about the criminal justice system. Kalila, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, can you run through the changes being called for in this memo from Attorney General Jeff Sessions?
So quickly, the memo reverses many of the provisions put in place by Eric Holder. It gives prosecutors a very narrow definition of who should be charged with these crimes. So it doesn't matter if you weren't involved in a gang or in a drug cartel. It does not matter how much of a particular drug that you've been caught with or charged with trafficking. It will trigger those prosecutors to pursue very long sentences with very little leeway in doing that. So it will reintroduce what we call mandatory minimums. Regardless of your individual circumstance, if you are running afoul of these laws, it will be a long punishment.
And looking back at where we came from, what was the thinking behind some of those Holder directives?
So I think what Attorney General Holder realized at the time was we had these very stiff policies, but they were unintended consequences. So we saw prison populations booming. It became very ineffective. It was extremely costly. And taxpayers said enough. If we talk about big government and government bloat, the massive size of the criminal justice system was an exemplar. And what it also meant was that people were serving very long sentences and coming out with no way to effectively contribute to society. So it's creating bigger problems for law-abiding citizens.
So how closely does this memo and what it says, how closely does that align with those older mandates back from the war on drugs days?
It is a sharp return to the law and order era, actually, of Richard Nixon, which set in motion the war on drugs effort during the Reagan administration and also expanded during Bill Clinton's term. So it is a way of saying we will not tolerate this behavior. We're going to have a very hardline approach to this. But what the memo does not recognize are the political and economic questions that will also be front and center once we return to this way.
And what are those?
So it's extremely costly to have inmates in a federal prison system. And it also means that the more people you have going into those prisons, you need to accommodate them. So what happened shortly after the election, within days, is that stocks in private prisons soared. And Jeff Sessions has already undone other memos that said the federal government would not use private prisons. So now you have massive corporations that will benefit economically from this policy change. How we maintain that, how we sustain it, will create problems for states and localities, not just the federal government.
Now, as I understand it, the rationale behind some of this tough-on-crime policy is that the tougher the sentence, the more people will be deterred from committing that crime. And Jeff Sessions has says, for example, he says the murder rate is up, and that's a sign the current policy isn't working. So is there a case to be made that, given where we are right now, it's time to go back to a policy like this?
So I think what's missing from the Sessions memo is the data and the sort of hard reality that the homicide rate is actually half of what it was, not just 20 years ago, but even 10 years ago. Crime rates are down across the board. Inmate populations are down across the board. And much of that violence that he's mentioning is not drug-related. It's actually domestic, increases in domestic violence resulting in death, as well as mass casualty events. So it sounds good in theory to say we're going to make our community safer, but it doesn't really target the root of the problem.
We're talking right now with Kalila Brown-Dean, Associate Professor of Political Science at Quinnipiac University, and we're looking at the impact of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' memo directing federal prosecutors to charge defendants with the toughest possible penalties. And Lila, is this going to affect more than drug offenders? Will it affect other other people in the system, for instance?
It will have some ripple effects. So once you open up the possibility that prosecutors can be more hardline on drug offenses, then it also opens the door to say, well, what about other things? So it could be white-collar crimes like fraud. It could be more pedestrian crimes that we think about that aren't necessarily drug-related here. But the ways in which drugs become the wedge issue is if you look at states that have legalized marijuana, either recreationally or medical marijuana, anyone who is seen as aiding and abetting those industries in an indirect or direct way will also be affected by these changes.
And at the same time, we're seeing a cultural push in some areas, looking at Colorado, for instance, where recreational marijuana is legal. Are we going to see some clashes set up now?
You know, Sessions has made it clear that anyone who uses marijuana for any reason has a morally deficient belief system. And he's made that clear from the time that he was first floated as a possible nominee to now his term as Attorney General. So looking forward, we should expect some crackdowns from the DEA, the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency, so that even if your local area or your state has allowed for medical marijuana or for recreational, it's still illegal at the federal level. And at the discretion of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, they can go in, they can have raids, they can arrest people. And again, it's our local jurisdictions that will have to foot that bill.
Well, looking, for instance, at Wisconsin, which is experiencing an opioid epidemic, we have Republican lawmakers in the state who have introduced more treatment-oriented legislation for opioid addicts and some of the crimes that could be associated with that. What do you see happening there, where there's one approach taken by the state and seemingly another by the federal government?
It has created a conflict that is not just a legal conflict, but it is also a practical conflict. So that when we hear from law enforcement officers who say, this epidemic is growing in ways that we cannot keep up with, and that if we don't have these interventions where people feel like if they're in trouble, they can go to law enforcement or they can go to local officials, it's going to compound the problem even more. And so, you know, we can talk about drugs. Drugs are bad. Certainly no one wants that in their community. But if we don't address the depths of addiction and how it is ensnaring communities beyond those traditionally targeted by some of these drug laws, it's going to create a crisis in our cities, in our states, and ones that state legislators across the political spectrum are saying, this is not a partisan issue. This is a basic human rights issue for us to address. How are we actually going to move forward and eradicate this problem?
Now, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has also said that this change in policy will untie the hands of prosecutors, and it will also stop the federal government from interfering so much in how a case is prosecuted. Is this something that could be seen as being welcomed by some of these prosecutors across the country?
I think it will vary based on where those prosecutors are and also what their particular political affiliation is. Many prosecutors across the U.S., we're not just talking about federal prosecutors, but lower prosecutors are elected officials. And so in those key election years, what the federal government is doing, what U.S. attorneys across the country, what they're directed to do becomes a signal and a marker for those other prosecutors as well. So I think some will be happy that they won't feel as hamstrung by some of these previous memos, but they also understand the collateral consequences of what happens when we lock up more people for longer periods of time. What's the impact on their children that get left behind? What's the impact on family and community when you're removing human capital and never really having effective ways for people to return back to their community?
And Kalila, as we wrap up, we're at a point in time now when there has been growing interest in prison reform. We're looking at overcrowding issues, at what's the most effective way to deter recidivism, for instance. Where does this leave those bigger issues of prison reform?
Well, I think it becomes a major obstacle to that reform. Over the last 5 or 6 years, we've seen a growing bipartisan consensus of people across the political spectrum saying, what we are doing is simply not working. And if it were working, we wouldn't have this opioid crisis that's devastating rural communities as well as urban communities. So it's going to be a time for people to reach across the aisle to say, what's the goal and how do we get there? And we should expect some lawsuits once this memo goes into effect of people arguing that it is a violation of civil liberties and that it does not push us toward actually addressing the issue.
Kalila, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Kalila Brown-Dean, Associate Professor of Political Science at Quinnipiac University. She was with us there to take a look at the impact of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' memo directing federal prosecutors to charge defendants with the toughest penalties.